Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Lee. This is episode 122 of the Running 44 at 60 podcast. My special guest on this episode is Jan Davis. Now, I met Jan at the Truro Running Show. Jan just came onto the stand, you know, and agreed to do a couple of minutes. And she said she was running a thing called the Thames Ring at the end of April, I think it was. So I casually said, oh, well, how far is that then? Thinking she was going to say, oh, it's about 20 miles, 30 miles. 250. So we're going to hear Jan's story about the Thames Ring and her next challenge as well. Now, before we meet Jan, I'm going out live with this on Sunday. Where are we? May the 21st. So yesterday, it was Classic Quarter Day. I can't believe it was 2 years since I ran that. Just incredible that 2 years has gone. And of course, there was two and a bit years building up to it as well. So when I look back at my running, of course, and I think one of the things I benefited from that was that I had to go out and run on my own anyway because of COVID restrictions. And I did go out on Friday, did about 11 and a half miles, but that's the first time being out on my own running for ages, really. Anyway, 175 finishes. I was at the Minak aid station, by the way, handing out Coke. And if my colleagues there, Julie and Camille, are listening to this, thank you. Nice to meet you. And I hope you enjoyed the day down there. It was great fun, wasn't it? We had Julie was zapping everybody because it was the final checkpoint. And Camille was doing the final kit check as well, where, you know, just asking for one random item to make sure everybody still had that. Because even though when they got to the Minak, there was only 4.7 miles to go, it was so hot still. And, you know, we had to just make sure everybody was full of water and they were drinking Coke like there was no tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, 175 people finished the solo event. So congratulations to all of them, if you were one of them. Rob Thompson, I hope you're listening. I hope you, well, I know you made it, Rob. You were one of the last people I saw at the Minak, but you were always going to make it. So good for you. And Pete Walker from Truro Running Club, a sub 10 hour. Well done to Pete. And Truro Running Club as well, Mary Rossetti. So well done, Mary. I think you had something to catch up on this course. So good for you. The winner was a guy called Laurie Luscombe. I don't know who he is, but he went round in 6 hours, 40 minutes. He was 55 minutes ahead of the guy in second place. And this is a brutal course. There was a young lad called Louis Ratcliffe, I don't know, maybe 20, 21. His dad was joined us at the Minak aid station. He was looking out for him because at the previous checkpoint, he'd been second. And somehow, he was a minute and a half up at that checkpoint when he checked in, the penultimate checkpoint. And then when he got to us, he was fourth and he was 18 minutes down on second place. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether he got lost or whatever happened, but there's always some, you know, there's always elation and he was very upset. And anyway, he finished, came fifth. So Louis, next time, mate, if you're listening to this. And congratulations to George Bull and his colleagues. I don't know whether George is listening to this, but there's five of them. And I think between them, they were going to raise over £5,000 for charity. So fantastic for that. And congratulations to everybody who also did the relays of four and the relays of two. And I think the relay of four is a terrific idea because there were 70 odd teams in the relay of four and quite a similar number in the relay of two. And if you do a relay of four, well, you basically do 11 miles each. And you get to the Minak aid station, and of course, you know, it's very hard being on the Minak aid station sometimes because you've got to be nice to everybody, you know. And people come in and they look as though they've run for days, you know, and then you realise they're a relay of four team. They've only done about 6 miles, so. But they're doing it, and that's the most important thing. So if you're listening to this and you've never taken part in the Classic Quarter, then get yourself three teammates and book in for the relay of four next year or the relay of two, and then you can go the whole thing. So, yeah, but if you're a bit nervous about, you know, running that sort of distance in the time of year and it was really hot, unusually from what the weather we've had in the UK recently, get in there. You could also take part. Endurance Life, who organise this event, on the 28th of July, they've got the Southwest Coastal Paths Relay. Now, they did this in 2020, and they also did it in 2022. I took part in 2022. They break the whole Southwest Coastal Path from Studland near Bournemouth up to where are we? Minehead, where the finish is, into 68 legs, roughly 10 miles each. And you can go on their website and you can choose a leg and you pay a normal running fee, not a massive great fee, just a normal, you know, fee that you would pay for a 10K or a half marathon or something. And they'll send you a shirt and you can take part. And it's great fun. It really is. And you can pick your leg and there's an estimated time that your leg will start. Okay, so it runs continually, and it starts on the 28th of July at 16:45 p.m., and they're hoping to beat the record of 5 days, 2 hours, and 47 minutes. So have a look, and it also gives you a steer on the expectation of your leg. Now, one of the things you have to do is you have to agree to recce your leg, and you have to agree to have someone around you can call if you do, you know, twist your ankle or something like that, as they say. But the recce is important, because I did the leg last year from Helford to Pathowstock, and there was a diversion. And had I not done the recce, then it was not easy to follow the diversion. So I recced it twice in the end, just to be absolutely sure that when I then did the leg itself. So it's great fun. It's all driven by a WhatsApp group, and yeah, terrific fun. So anyway, have a look on the Endurance Life podcast about that. Now, in the next episode, I've also got an amazing new run coming up, the Sillies 60 kilometres. And this I've got Tracy Way and Stuart Thompson, who've both been previous guests on the podcast. They're coming on, and they're going to talk about this amazing event that ended up running. Well, it was. I won't spoil it for you, but they ran around five different islands, including one. They did two legs on one, and you had to get to the boat in time. Otherwise, if you missed the boat, you were timed out. So we're looking forward to hearing all about that from Tracy and Stuart. Right, let's go over and say hello to Jan.
So, Jan, it was great to meet you at the Cornwall Running Show earlier this year. And then you told me you were going to do a thing called the Thames Ring. So for listeners who don't know about the Thames Ring, which I imagine is quite a few of them, do you want to just give us a bit of an overview of what the Thames Ring is all about?
Yeah, so the Thames Ring's a 250-mile race. You start in Goring, you run down the Thames to Richmond, turn off at Richmond and pick up the Grand Union Canal, run around the Grand Union Canal up to Northamptonshire, a bit further along from that, and then pick up the Oxford Canal and then back to the Thames and then finish in Goring.
Wow. You did say 250 miles, did you?
Yeah, 250 miles. You have 100 hours to complete it.
Wow. So A, what made you want to do this? And secondly, what sort of running background have you got to think 250 miles?
I think it's really good to challenge yourself. And I don't think it's a challenge if you know that you can do it. And the same as a lot of people, I started running in my late 20s. Did 10 miles, 20 miles, half marathons, did a few marathons, then realised I was getting older and slower, so started to run further. And I lived on a narrowboat on the canals for years around London. So I was aware of a race called the Grand Union Canal Race, which was a 145-mile race. And I used to think people to do that must be superhuman. And that was before I ran. So when I started running, it was always kind of in the back of my mind. And I thought, one day I'll enter it. And I did actually enter it and finished it. And I did the Grand Union, the Kennet and Avon Canal race, which is another 145-mile race. And I finished that a couple of times. So I just wanted to see how far I could go. So I thought I'd give 250 miles a go.
Wow. So I'm intrigued to know, you know, how on earth do you prepare or train for a 250-mile race then?
You obviously can't run the race distance. So I did quite a lot of marathons and I did a lot of back-to-back runs. So I'd do a marathon one day and a half marathon the next day. I think the longest weekend I did a 35-mile run on the Saturday and another 35-mile run on the Sunday, and I did a few night runs. I run commute to work quite a lot, so I do quite a lot of double run days during the week anyway, which I think helps. And strength training, try and do strength training. I think that's really important.
Wow. So 400 hours, I've just worked out, is I think, is it 4 days and 4 hours? Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. So clearly there's four nights in there, presumably, somewhere. So, I mean, yes. What were your plans in terms of, like, sleep or not sleep? Or
No, definitely. I think you need to sleep during that time, especially because I'm not the quickest runner. So my plan was to run through the first night and the second night to try and sleep and probably get, everyone said to me 90 minutes is a good sleep time because apparently you go through your full sleep cycle in 90 minutes.
Okay.
So that was the plan.
Okay, and what about eating then? I mean, what was your plan for that?
Real food. As in ultras, you need to eat real food. So I did have a few sports bars, but sandwiches, cake is always good. But,
so
yeah,
the crisps
are always good as well.
How many of you were there in the event, Jan?
46 people started it.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. And what sort of time of day did it start then?
It started at 10 o'clock on the Wednesday and you had till 2 o'clock on the Sunday to finish.
Right. So what were you thinking when you're on that start line at like just before 10 o'clock on the Wednesday then? What was going through your mind?
I was quite excited because I've been planning it for so long. So yeah, just wanted to get started and yeah, get going to hopefully calm the nerves down that I was feeling.
And were you allowed support on the route then from crew?
Not really, no, because they try to make it fair for everyone. So you can't take anything from anyone on the route. You're not allowed pacers, you're not allowed poles. So you can have support crew meet you at aid stations, but they can't really help you.
Okay. In fact, I looked it up and it said you can if you want. You are allowed to go into the shops en route and buy some food if you want to. I did see that.
Yes. And I did that at Ship Lake. I stopped and I got some drink and an ice cream and bits and pieces. So yeah.
Now I also saw on the website, Jan, when I was researching this, that you could have a bag that they would move to the checkpoints. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So you've got a drop bag that you could put bits and pieces in, and I put a warm coat in there for the night sections and bits and pieces. And the checkpoints are about every marathon, so every sort of 26, 27 miles.
Yeah. Now, on this occasion, you didn't finish, which must have been a disappointment. So tell us what happened and how far did you get?
I went through the first night and I should have turned off at Richmond to pick up Sion Park and Brentford to get on the Grand Union Canal.
Right.
And for some reason, I completely missed the turn off. And I could have, well, I did kick myself several times because I know that area quite well.
Okay.
So I think just because it was dark, I just totally missed the turn off. And when I saw Kew Bridge, I knew at that point I'd gone too far. So
right.
I'd done about 2.5-3 miles too much.
Oh,
I had
gosh.
To turn round and do 3 miles back to get to Richmond to turn off.
Right.
And I think that started to play with my head a bit because the speed I was going through the night, that was an hour and 15 minutes added
right.
on.
Okay, yeah.
I then went through Usley checkpoint to go on to Burke Hampstead checkpoint. Just as I got through Rickmansworth, the rain started and it was really, really heavy rain. By the time I got to Rickmansworth, I was very wet. I was starting to feel cold and I only had half an hour really to turn myself around in that aid station for the cutoff point. And I just kept thinking to myself, if I hadn't gone wrong at Richmond, I would have had 2 hours here.
Yeah.
And I was feeling sorry for myself, which you always do in long races. Definitely in hindsight, I should have thought just turned myself around in half an hour, got changed, dry clothes on and left. And instead, feeling sorry for myself, and because I was at an aid station, it was the easy option, I DNF'd.
Ah.
Phoned my husband, got him to book me a train. The minute I got on the train to come back to Cornwall, I regretted it and thought, stupid decision.
So physically you were okay. It was just that kind of thought that you lost an hour and suddenly, you know, you didn't have that luxury of a bit of extra time and you were feeling under pressure that you were having to play catch up.
Yeah, totally. In hindsight, the section that I was at as well, the timings between aid stations increased dramatically for the next aid station. So I only had to do, I think it was 2.7 miles an hour to get to the next aid station. But it was my head that played with me. And I thought mentally I was quite strong. And obviously I wasn't as strong as I thought I was mentally.
And you say it was in the night. What sort of time roughly was this then? Because this took place not that long ago, did it? Altogether?
No, it was April, end of April it took place.
Okay.
And it wasn't in the night when I dropped out. It was about 5:30 in the evening. So it was still daylight.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd gone through the first night, was, yeah, just kind of heading into the second night, I suppose.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't tired, overly tired either, which was the other thing. My legs were fine. I was kind of jogging a little bit and walking a bit. I was actually back running 2 days later.
Wow.
So,
because I can't personally imagine, Jan, what it'd be like to take on such a distance and with so few other people in the run. Because did you run with anybody at any point after the, you know, the first initial burst at the start kind of thing?
I through the first night I ran with a girl called Elizabeth. We decided we would buddy up through the night, so we ran most of the first night together. And right. I actually met her just after Uxbridge. She caught up with me again, and we both DNF'd at Berkhamsted together.
Right.
Which I think we were both having a bad point. And in hindsight, if one of us had chivvied the other one along, I think we'd have both carried on as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that helped. I don't think we helped each other at that point.
Yeah, but I suppose next time, you know, because have you got plans to, you know, is this something you want to go back to now?
100%, yeah. I'll do it next year.
Will you? Wow, yes. Amazing. Amazing. Now, I do know that you've got something lined up in September, which is, not quite as far, but bloody long way still.
it's the T184, which is, they're running from the source of the Thames to the Thames Barrier. It's normally run the other way, but this year they're doing it from the source of the Thames to the Thames Barrier. It's actually the race that I wanted to do originally.
Right. But
about 3 or 4 years ago, they cancelled it, and I didn't think it was going to be run again. So this is the first time it's being run in 4 years. So wow. I've entered that. So that's the 21st of September.
Wow. And listeners, I think Jan's got to explain that the name of the event, the T184, is a bit of a clue to how far it is. Is that right, Jan?
It is, yeah. It's the Thames 184 miles.
Wow. So where is the start point then?
It's Kemble, Cirencester, Gloucestershire way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. And will you literally be, will the Thames be in sight all the way around then?
Most of it. It deviates a little bit in places, but yeah, most of it. Keep the Thames in my sight and I'll be okay. Won't get lost. So this time, when I get to Richmond, I will look at it and know to keep going on to Kew. Don't turn off.
So you will be doing bits of the course you did in the other one then?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I'll run up to Goring, which is where the other race started, and on to Richmond and then carry on through London. I don't quite know how it will be running through the centre of London after I've probably had sleep deprivation for 3 nights. That might be a shock to my senses, but we'll see.
Well, that sounds like an adventure on it in itself, doesn't it, really? So it
does, yes.
Amazing. Now, is there a kind of time limit on that one, Jan?
We start on the Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is quite a strange time to start, and you've got to finish on the Sunday evening at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't remember how many hours.
Just over 3 days then, by the sounds of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And so apart from, you know, getting around the fact that if you consider stopping, you won't in the 184 maybe, but is there anything else you're going to plan to do differently from what you learned at the Thames Ring?
Not really. Probably try and eat a little bit more, but no, not a great deal different. It's a little bit different in the fact that you don't have aid stations. Somebody will meet you every sort of marathon distance, but all they'll give you is water. So you have to be a little bit more self-sufficient on this, and they don't have, on the Thames Ring 250, they have sleeping points, so they have tents or somewhere you can sleep. They don't have this on the T184, so you've got to carry your own bivy bag and sleep by the side of the river or on a park bench. Which all adds to the adventure, I think.
Yeah, sleeping on a park bench in a bivy bag, you know, you might get people, you know, taking sympathy on you and, you know, and all that sort of stuff, you know. And,
I think after 3 days, I don't think anybody will want to come anywhere near me.
Well, that sounds like a great adventure, Jan, and it would be marvellous if when you've completed that in September, if you want to pop back on the podcast and tell us how you got on. You know,
yeah, so, definitely. Yes.
And is there likely to be a bigger field for that, do you know? Or
Not currently. I think there's 9 people entered it so far.
Is there? Okay. Well, yeah. You're in for a top 10 finish then, by the sounds of it.
I'm the only female that's entered so far as
well.
Are
you? Well, well, there you go. The trophies are looking good. Well, listeners, if you fancy joining Jan on the T184, there is space. And this is in September. That's what you said, Jan, wasn't it?
Yes, September the 21st it starts.
There you go. So, and how do people find that? Do they just Google T184 as far as you know? Because I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's T184. It's on the Challenge Running website.
Challenge Running website, yeah. Right.
A chap called Lindley Chambers, who a lot of ultra runners are probably aware of, is organising it this time.
Great stuff. Yeah, Challenge Running website. I mean, yeah, because I know that some listeners, you know, they like they like to take part in these long distance events, but they like to be pampered, you know, with huge, great aid stations and people on site to cook meals for them at the aid stations and all that. Well, you know, this is real look after yourself stuff, isn't it? Blimey.
Yes.
Goodness me. Well, I wish you all the best for that, Jan. And yeah, keep in touch to let us know how it went when it comes to September. So have you started any particular training for that now or?
I've just been kind of doing my anything that I want for a couple of weeks because I thought that's quite nice after training, following a strict training plan for a year. So I'm going to start my training properly next week. And that's right. 18 weeks training plan okay. Then, which will be a good build up.
And when you complete the 184, will that be the longest completion you've done or?
Yes. Yeah. That will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, fantastic. Well, I'm in awe of what you're trying to achieve. I remember when you came to the Cornwall Running Show and we did that like 2-minute thing and you sat down and I said, well, so what have you got lined up? And people have been coming on the stand and saying, oh, well, I'm going to do the, you know, the white rat or the red rat, you know, 20 miles, or I'm doing a, you know, I'm going to maybe do half the classic quarter or something. And then you came along and said, oh, I'm going to do the Thames Ring. And I said, okay, how far is that then? Thinking you were going to say about 10 miles or something. 250 miles. Extraordinary.
It's good for your head to run, I think.
Well, fantastic that you've come on the show, Jan. I really appreciate that. So I hope you've inspired a few people to get out there and do something. And, you know, well, you know, I'm in there for the Arc 50 and I'm thinking, well, crikey, you know, blimey, that's only a fifth of the Thames Ring, for goodness sake. What's all the fuss about?
Yeah, but it's hard because you've got a lot of hills in the Arc 50. Well, the Thames is nice and flat. You haven't got any
Well, you can use poles, though, which I will be using all the time, I think. So anyway, there we go. So brilliant. And are you raising any money or anything like that, or is that involved at all? Or because if you are, I'll put a link in the show notes, but if you're not, that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm just doing it for myself. When I ran marathons, I raised quite a lot of money then, but I think people know that I run because I love running.
Yeah,
so I feel a bit cheeky asking.
Great stuff. Well, I'm so glad you came to the running show, because now we've had this conversation, so best of luck and we look forward to catching up in September. And you can tell us all about that that adventure on the T184, Jan. So thanks again.
Thanks, Trevor. I'll look forward to it.
So there we go. I mean, crikey, if you're thinking, I'm not sure I can, you know, put myself down for that first ultra. You know, there's Jan. Ah, 250 miles. Oh, well, okay, 184, the next one. Blimey, I just can't get my head around doing that sort of distance. Anyway, thanks very much, Jan, and best of luck in September for that. Now, we've got lots of people, I know listeners who are out there doing great stuff. So if you want to get a mention on the podcast, drop me a note, podcast@trevorleemedia.co.uk, and I'll give you a shout out on the podcast for something that you're doing. And if I forgot to shout you out on this episode, I will do on the next one, which will be, as I said, Tracy Waite and Stuart Thompson talking about the Sillies 60 Kilometer, a new event, and I think you're going to be all very excited when you hear about that. And I've also got James Skeplawn coming on as well. Now, James did that event, had a great finish. He's going to come on and he's going to also, not on the same episode, he'll be on a future episode. He's also talking about the Green Man he did, which is an ultra event in Bristol. And he ran two legs of the Traverse course as well. So he's kind of done three ultras in 3 months. He's going to tell us what that was about and I'm going to ask him which was his favourite. So anyway, we'll see you then. If you like the show, please leave a review and please share it. Tell someone else about it. That would be fantastic because the listeners are growing all the time.
So if you do like it, then please tell someone else. And that will mean if everybody does that and one more person listens to it from every listener, we'll double the listenership. How about that? Fantastic. See you next time.